In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. Today, this third Sunday of Advent, we continue this season of expectation and waiting. As you know, the word Advent comes from a Latin word which means to come to. And so during the season of Advent, we're waiting and preparing for someone special to Advent us, that is, to come to us. That someone special is Jesus. And we use this time between now and Christmas to prepare ourselves to receive Christ once again into our hearts and lives in a renewed way. When we look closely at the scripture readings for Advent, another thing we notice is this. When Jesus first came to us at that first Christmas, a lot of preparations had been taking place for his arrival. In fact, it took centuries for God to prepare the stage of human history for Jesus to make his appearance. As you look at the scriptures, you realize that those special persons that we call the prophets had been proclaiming for centuries, long before Jesus was born, that a Messiah, God's anointed one, would appear, who would bring into reality a new vision, a new sense of God's presence among us, into which all of us, all the nations, everyone, would be invited to participate. And so for centuries, there have been these prophecies of a new day dawning for all people. There would be a new creation, a new kingdom, a new sense of God's presence amongst human beings. The light of God's love would shine in a dark and fearful world as never before. People would have a sense of hope and reassurance from God in a rich and meaningful way that would be new. The ancient scriptures foretold that it would be God's Messiah, God's anointed one, a descendant from King David who would usher in this new age. And so after 500 years or more, Isaiah had made his prophecies. After Isaiah had foretold how all this would take place, finally, the stage was set. The time had come for these great prophecies to be fulfilled. The time for the inbreaking of the light of this new age, this new creation, was now at hand. And so at that point, God set into motion the events that would reveal to all of humanity who God is and what God is truly like once and for all. And most of all, through this great event, through this coming of Christ, God provides a way for folks like you and me to experience for ourselves in a very personal way what it means to be loved, what it means to be truly cherished by our cosmic creator, by the one who put breath into our bodies, a way for us to feel truly cherished by a being much greater than ourselves, whom Jesus calls Abba. When Christ appears on this earth, it not only begins a new chapter in the story of God's interaction with human beings, it also changes the course of human history for at least 2,000 years. And so, after centuries of calling forth a people, informing the nation of Israel, setting the stage, getting things ready, and inspiring the prophets to proclaim the dawning of a new age, at exactly the appropriate time, God decides that now is the moment. The time has come now for the inbreaking of the light of this new age. And it is at that point that John, son of Zechariah, appears. And he proclaims, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, saying, prepare now the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." Something great and good, something hopeful is about to happen. So prepare yourselves. Get ready. And so this third Sunday of Advent, we focus on this voice, this messenger from God who tells us to get ready, to wake up, prepare the way now, because this great cosmic event that involves you and me is about to take place. John, son of Zechariah, is this voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And so, speaking about John, this messenger, Jesus says this in our gospel for today. He says, "Among those born of women, none is greater than John." But what about John, this son of Zechariah, commonly known as John the Baptizer? I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy in Sunday school, I was taught that John was a sort of a wild man. We pictured John, well, based on Scripture, as eccentric and different. He was a person who lived out in the wilderness. He wore camel skins and he ate locusts and wild honey. And I, as a little boy, I didn't know anybody that did that. I learned later that it was like that John was really following in the footsteps of Elijah, the tradition of the hermit prophets of old. He lived off the land. But my guess is that if John the Baptist were to suddenly appear and walk down the aisle of the church today, we might all run and hide, maybe call 911. But John was the prophet that God sent when Jesus was about to begin his ministry. And John's job was to get people's attention. He was kind of like the front man. And then to make this great proclamation that the Messiah is about to appear. And so this morning, let's turn our focus on John just for a minute. What is it that makes him special? And secondly, why is he important to you and me after all these centuries? Well, to begin with, John is not wealthy by any stretch. He's not powerful socially or politically well-placed. On the other hand, John probably had some education because his dad was a priest at the temple in Jerusalem. And it could well have been that John was expected to walk in his father's footsteps. And so he was probably well grounded in the Hebrew scriptures. We know that John had some followers for a while as a result of his ministry there in the Jordan Valley. But after Jesus comes on the scene, those followers of John begin to drift away and they begin to follow Jesus. And then when John is only in his early 30s, John is beheaded. He is executed by Herod Antipas because John was seen as a political threat. He had become too popular amongst the common people. He was too charismatic. So once again, what is it that makes John great? The thing that makes John great is that John proclaims the presence of Christ and then he gets himself out of the way. When Jesus comes along, John gives up the spotlight and center stage so that Jesus can shine. With all his eccentricities and odd ways, John is yet a very gifted man. John has a charisma. He can attract people. And most of all, John has a powerful message that's very attractive to the run-of-the-mill folks at that time. He gives people a sense of hope through a simple message of repentance and baptism. He gives people somewhere to turn for hope and reassurance. But when John realizes, when John recognizes Jesus is God's Messiah, the Anointed One, John then deflects the loyalties and the power he could have had so that Jesus' influence can increase. One time I was reading an article about music and realized that this little article helps make this point about John the Baptist. I came across this little story. It's an illustration of this role of John the Baptizer. One time an admirer asked the celebrated composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein, "Sir, what is the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play?" Bernstein replies without hesitation, "Second fiddle." He says, "I can always get plenty of first violinists, but to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm and skill, or second horn, or second flute, now that's a problem. And yet, if no one plays second, we have no harmony." End quote. And so I truly believe John becomes keenly aware of his role. His job becomes that of messenger. John becomes the last of the old age. He's the last of the great prophets. His role is to alert people not to himself, but rather to the Savior who is at hand. And so the greatness of John is his humility, his willingness to become a transparent window through which people could see the light who is Jesus. John is great because he brings Jesus into view. He helps people to focus on Jesus, not himself. And there's a real lesson in this for us, right? One of the great lessons of Advent is this. Just as John comes to realize in his short life, so also we realize that standing among us, there is one much greater than are we. The thong of whose sandal we are not worthy to untie. The lesson from John is that as followers of Jesus, our role is to do whatever it takes to allow Jesus to shine for others. Not us, Jesus. It's not always easy. It takes humility, it takes courage, it takes focus, it takes a conscious effort on our part to take ego and self out of the center and allow Christ to shine, both here at church, in our families, in our personal lives, and in our community. That's what we do. I'm sure this must have presented quite a struggle for John, just as it can be a struggle for you and me. The temptation is for us to place ourselves always in the limelight, place ourselves at the center, and to demand for ourselves the kingdom and the power and the glory all on our terms. And yet John's example calls us to place Jesus the anointed one, the Christ, at the center rather than self. Our participation in church and the living out of our roles and ministries in the church and in the community is fulfilling for us. It feels good. We all have this need to be needed. It's what we're called to do. It's our ministry. And there is a sense of reward that comes from it all. But the purpose of what we do in the church and in the community is to allow the love and the presence of Christ to shine. And so when people come to our church or when they encounter us individually, through us, they will be introduced to the one who is greater. It's John, son of Zechariah, the messenger, the forerunner of Christ, who shows us how to do this. During this Advent season, just like John, you and I stand on the roadside of our lives. And like John, we do whatever it takes to point others to Jesus. Amen.